The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
There's no sugarcoating it. For us, it's been a roller coaster covering it. It's a roller coaster within the building. Remove Shane Waldron from his play calling duties. And now what's happening this week, you guys, is Thomas Brown is sitting down with Caleb Williams and getting inside of his head.
Former WNBA star.
Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Paul.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Stacey Dales, as we do every week. And like all our guests, she's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Stacey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mully and Haw. Did you guys hear the Sky hired a new head coach?
Yeah, and it wasn't you. Yes. What happened with that? I'm
it
gonna
wasn't
protest.
Me.
I thought it was going to be you all the time.
Yeah, Tyler Marsh. Now I don't have to take the criticisms of a head coach.
Now, let's talk about that for a second, because if I'm not mistaken, they're playing at that the arena right down there by where the convention is, and they're going to build a new Michael Reese area. We're going to throw up a dome over there. I mean, things are just happening everywhere.
Yeah. By the time they're doing that, though, Mully, Stacey will have coached the Sky and been fired.
Who knows? Hopefully it works out for the Sky, but there's we're currently in the middle of the NFL season, and you guys know me, I'm not a pile on person. So it's really been tough to see, the Sky falling in a different way in Chicago, because I do live here. And, I do feel for people in these circumstances, because this is a business. And, what's transpired is really sort of, I think unconscionable is probably too strong of a word, but just when I consider the trajectory and then, sort of this plateau we've seen since the bye, it's just very surprising what's transpired.
But Stacey, we talked last week, and you were very much on point with the fact that Shane Waldron was not getting the job done. So I don't want to speak for you, but my sense is you probably weren't that surprised that this move was made, especially after last Sunday's outcome. The question would be, how much confidence do you have in Thomas Brown now making any kind of changes in the offense being different?
Well, they're different styles. They're different personalities. So if anything, you hope that he can institute some sort of a spark, which we've heard from the players. And, you'll hear people talk about just how competitive Thomas Brown is. There's just so many layers to this. Like, everything was on the table. When you go from an offense that, it pumped the brakes a little bit. I go all the way back to training. This is layered. Yeah. I go back to training camp. When your number one competition is the center competition within your offense, that is very problematic. I rest my case when I look around the league and I see in order of grades, Creed Humphrey, Frank Ragnow, and Tyler Linderbaum. One of those guys, the first guy I mentioned, is a second-round pick that is Patrick Mahomes, hands the ball to him. The other two are first-round picks. Frank Ragnow does so many things at the line of scrimmage. I don't know how to explain to people what centers do. Let's bring Olin on right now, because what they do, what Frank is doing, I was on the phone with Graham Glasgow, and I've covered the Lions a few times this season, and they are the best team right now in the NFC. He could not overstate to me the magnitude of Frank Ragnow for Jared Goff and their offense. They arguably have the best offensive line in the National Football League. The Baltimore Ravens, I mentioned Tyler Linderbaum. I mean, you got a quarterback flying around in the backfield and all over the field, and you got a running back in Derrick Henry. Imagine what he's calling at the line of scrimmage. Frank Ragnow, Glasgow, told me it's wrinkles upon wrinkles upon wrinkles upon wrinkles as far as what he does for that offense. So I say that because we had a if you're the Bears, we had a center competition back in training camp. That is something that will have to be addressed. To me, that's the most important part of the offensive line. And then you go to your tackles, of course, but that's just my opinion. Now you go to the game in London, right? Caleb throws masterfully 4 touchdowns. I was standing on the sidelines. They did play the worst passing defense in the Jacksonville Jaguars in the NFL, giving up more yards at that time than any team defensively, I believe. So it was, as we were called after together on the air, it was a game you should win, and you did it with, you know, convincing fashion. And that was a win to me for Chicago going into the bye. And then you come out of the bye, and that's where things got just underwhelmingly surprising. They've averaged 9 points per game since their bye week,
yeah,
which is the lowest in the league through weeks 8 to 10. The pass yards are at 156 per game. They have no touchdowns. Caleb hasn't thrown a touchdown. And so there is a disconnect. And I trust a lot of my guys around the league who break down tape. And I actually was contacted yesterday, reverse fashion, what's going on in Chicago? And I just know that everything was on the table this week. And that's what you have to look at when you've gone 23 possessions without scoring any points. And I think the decision came down to Shane Waldron because of maybe the disconnect with the quarterback. And they're hoping, as I heard the clip you guys played coming in, and I was on air last night, you know, Thomas Brown can get in his mind a little bit, understand what he wants, what he's truly comfortable with, without having to dumb this thing down, and then alter the concepts. What are the concepts? That was the biggest takeaway from my conversations yesterday around the league. Like the concept, some of the concepts they're doing in Washington with Jaden right now, they make the game a little bit easier for him. And I will never stop saying how hard it is for rookie quarterbacks. I've talked to a handful of fellas from the Carolina team last year with Bryce Young. And there isn't enough time in the day, in the week, in the plan preceding game day to get a rookie quarterback prepared fast enough or ready enough. And it's baptism by fire.
Okay, we have breaking news. Breaking news on 670 The Score, presented by BetQL Smarter Bet. Start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. The Bears have released Nate Davis, the well-paid guard/no-play player.
Think about that. They dressed 7 offensive linemen on Sunday, and they are at – have a depth problem on the offensive line, and they released Nate Davis today, a day after firing Shane Waldron.
Yeah. Well, to me, without knowing, and I'm speculating, and I will be at Hallis Hall shortly, that's not a surprise.
No.
Surprise
he lasted this long, frankly, because he's been...
He should have done it weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, to make a statement,
but maybe the final move was when they activated him. They knew he had him practice. They knew he... They needed him last week, and he showed up with a back injury, and then they...
Back injury, air quotes.
Yeah, I mean, then they sent him home and didn't want him standing around all day.
Didn't want him hanging around. Listen,
I mean, at that point, if you weren't wondering, why is that guy on the team? And it's sunk money. There's nothing you can do about it. You gave him the contract, And he'll walk away, I think, with $22 million after all is said and done for the three-year deal, which ends up being 2 years. So not even two, 1.5 years.
Big miss by Ryan Poles.
Big miss.
Yeah, and GMs miss, unfortunately. Yep. And I, if I had my guess, if I were to bump into Ryan Poles right now, he's freaking pissed. He's pissed, and he should be. There's no sugarcoating what's gone on. And yep. These are the types of things that happen when you it's not just about underachieving. It's about, like, having guys loafing on a consistent basis, because you guys had Jalen Johnson. I saw some of the great clips from the Score coverage earlier this week. And I thought my followers on Twitter was really actually onto something. Like, yeah, but extraordinary players do work hard. Do you think Michael Jordan was, like, the hardest worker on the court? Hell yeah, he was. The late, great Kobe was the hardest worker. Like, you're going to see that they're gym rats, right? Caitlin Clark's a gym rat. Tom Brady's a gym rat. He's gotten so much better on TV just over the course of 9 weeks. Like, great players do that. Jalen Johnson is a great player. I think he's fantastic. So, yeah, you're going to see players around you that aren't up to speed like you. But when you got loafers on a consistent basis, you're like, yo, man, that ain't cool in this culture. And I think, shoot, Ryan Poles probably just had enough of it. But they got some serious things to address within that building. There's no question about it. And hopefully Thomas Brown can ignite something in them.
I think you're onto something, though, with Ryan Poles. It's very interesting. I wonder what the level of discussions were. I wonder who the conversations were with. Because in the last 48 hours, we saw Ryan Poles essentially overrule Matt Eberflus to fire Shane Waldron and now release Nate Davis. He came to work this week committed to correcting his mistakes.
Not wanting to look at people either, right? You're not going to keep someone around. It's time. Just get out. Go. Yeah. Don't want you coming in here. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always say this. This isn't an indictment on human beings. This business, like, listen, this is an emergency. We're not saving lives. These aren't first responders. But it is a big, big business. And it is a results-oriented business, and it sucks because you get to know people, and they're really great. There are really great people that do this that aren't winning football games, and so you take that into account. But, like, at a certain point, you are the GM, and, you know, to me, for to say all the things were on the table, right? What does that mean? Are we going to keep Shane Waldron? Who would be the offensive play caller? Are we going to go to our Paskin coordinator and Thomas Brown, who actually took over in 9 games for the Panthers last season in place of Frank Reich, who ultimately was fired? And they still had the worst passing offense in football in Carolina. And Bryce Young actually was benched this year for Andy Dalton, right? So it took them a year and a half to bench Bryce Young. Now, I'm not calling for guys to get benched, but it's hard as a rookie. So everything is on the table. You have to talk about everything. That's brainstorming. That is what teams have to do to find answers. I never thought Caleb wouldn't be the starter this week against the Green Bay Packers. I just thought when you have a fan base that's like this and you're inside that building and your quarterback isn't comfortable. Now, whether Caleb is not executing to their standard, right? He has held the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has missed on a couple guys, but are the receivers always open? You know, my conversations yesterday, there are so many issues. And I say that because I really take the time to talk to analysts who played the game and have broken down the tape. And I watch the tape too. I always watch the Bears game back because I do this and I want to see it again. And, you know, from the offensive line, some issues, obviously, we've seen. That's a no-brainer with all the injuries. To the timing on routes, the quarterback's drop. You know, there's a reason the Bears went to the wristband. Now, everybody say, well, everybody uses a wristband. Of course. But they were going to it exclusively because it saved them time for Caleb to get the play call to his offensive line and get to the line of scrimmage. When you orchestrate that play and you deliver it in the huddle, you got to get up to the line of scrimmage. All of that takes time. And for a rookie quarterback who's never done it, it's really hard. Ask one of them. It's hard. They might not admit it to you, but it's hard. All of that operation, they've had to try to fix. The fact that he didn't have a first 15 and a player had to go tell him to have a first 15, Mercedes Lewis.
Right.
I don't care about what the first 15 is. I don't care about what the first 20 is. I don't care about what the first 25 is, which is what Kyle does in San Francisco. I care that the quarterback has some semblance of conviction to start the game, especially when he's a rookie. So, and then I care mostly about the player that has to go to the coach and tell the coach that. It should be the other, like, I don't understand that. I mean, when I started with the Sky many years ago as a rookie, I loved our coaches. They were so nice, but they didn't do scouting reports. I don't think I've ever shared this, but like I started doing scouting reports because I didn't know how to go to the coaches and say, hey, we need some scouting reports. So I started putting them in my teammates' lockers. And I only share that because, and our coaches were like, oh yeah. Like, because it was new for everybody. The WNBA was new for, you know, that set of coaches, and that's cool. That's okay. We all learn together, but it wasn't a good season. I don't remember how many games we won, and it's not an indictment again on those people. It's just that, you know, things happen on teams that you have to learn along the way. And I think the Bears, going back to the Bears, I think they've been learning this thing along the way with their rookie quarterback. And he's right now lost. I don't want to say he has, because I have to let him say it. He's appeared to have lost some confidence, and he has appeared to be tentative, which means you hold on to the ball. And I'm sure there's arguments on both sides, which is why I said consternation, that maybe he's not executing, but maybe he doesn't like the concepts, and maybe if they change the concepts, he could be a little bit more comfortable, and maybe you hit DJ Moore on a third and whatever it is for a first down when he's wide open. So there's a lot at play, and there's a lot of parties involved where things aren't working, and now we're seeing some shakeups at Hollis.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. And yeah, I think that you're right. You know, we were talking about it, Stacey, this idea that the one thing that Caleb doesn't do is throw interceptions. Why is throwing an interception so bad? I'm sadly now concluding that it is more about tentative play than it is about protecting the ball. Like don't be afraid to throw a pick, try to make a play. And I think that, unfortunately, the situation they're in has made him tentative, and it's a really bad habit.
Yeah, it is. And it's a conversation we can all continue to have ad nauseum because we all know the game better than anybody, right? I'm not standing out there as a rookie quarterback in the NFL. So I have respect for it. It's hard. It's hard to find perfect blends on teams of coaching. Ben Johnson has been in this Detroit, you know, evolution for a number of years and wanted to stay because he's got something extremely special with this group now, like 3 years, what with Goff calling plays. And it's like it's a well-oiled machine. The pH balance is perfect. There's just so many things to like about it, but you've got to find that perfect blend. It's hard to do in the National Football League. It is. And with the way things are now and the way players move, and it is hard to do. But I would say, you know, when you start hearing players, like, I'm always very I hate the pylon. I hate it.
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah. It sucks. But when the players start telling you, like Cole Kmet came out and said, we've regressed.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to say then?
Yeah.
Right? Like it has happened. They're aware of it. I think Poles is going to take accountability because I think he's a stand-up guy. I really do. And I think you could swing and miss on things, and it happens in the league. And, you know, when the results happen, we're the first to point out, oh, you guys should have done this. Like, you know, hindsight, whatever, 50-50. The bottom line is now, Thomas Brown has to figure out a way to develop trust with his quarterback. I just don't think there was a great deal of trust. I wish Shane Waldron totally the best. Like, it sucks for him.
He'll be okay. He's walking away with
$5
million.
Yeah, and when somebody has to go, it's usually that guy. But,
that's right.
You know, but, there's a lot. There's still a lot of season to be played. Unfortunately, it's the most lethal schedule you can imagine with every divisional game to come, not to mention, pretty good division out there in the West of the NFC.
Great stuff, Stacey. Great catching up with you. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Stacey.
Yep. See you guys.
That is Stacey Dales. She'll be on the game on
Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah.
Packers-Bears at Soldier Field for the NFL Network. She referenced her scouting reports she handed out the 2007 season before her first season with the Sky. They were 14-20 that year.
Yeah.
And she remembers it well.
And they would have been about...
Can you imagine being a veteran, having this rookie come in or first-year player come in and handing out scouting reports?
I'd be happy to read a scouting report. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Molly and Haw on the Score.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nate Davis came in this morning, as you guys saw, and had back. His back tightened up on him. He saw Andre the trainer before the game. Andre ruled him out. And then we sent him home because we don't want a guy standing on 2 feet with a back issue.
Well, as a man who's had a back issue, I can understand that, Coach. Yeah. But if I could get $1 million to go home again.
It can be definitely a strain carrying around all that baggage.
Yeah, all that money.
Nate Davis was carrying around.
That contract
in
he
Chicago.
Had in his back pocket.
Oh,
was heavy.
Please. I mean, good riddance.
Yeah, it's Molly and Haw on the Score. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's hard to feel any way other than kind of shrug at the idea that Nate Davis is gone. He was never really here, was he?
He was never really here. He never lived up to expectations.
No.
This is one of the biggest misses that Ryan Poles has had. GMs do miss.
Yeah.
But he was wrong about Nate Davis. Unfortunately, he was wrong at a position that he hasn't necessarily addressed adequately. And if you start to ask questions about Ryan Poles moving forward, it will be because his offensive line, which we thought he would be an expert at putting together, he's failed at putting together.
Terrible.
This is not the best depth he's ever seen. Where's the depth?
So, I mean, I know the McCaskies have nothing but money, and I understand that the Bears, you know, they can afford $2.3 billion to build a dome whenever the moment comes.
At least
that much. But, I mean, then we know with the value of the franchise and everything else. But if you're like a bottom line member of the crew and it goes by your desk, like, well, how much did we have to put out last week? Oh, well, we needed $5 million to pay off. You may as well. Okay, we'll give the $10 million.
What's the cumulative sunk cost between Nate Davis and Shane Waldron?
It's like $15 million.
Okay, that's $15 million. You might as well just take a lighter and burn because you got nothing in return. You're paying them to go away, essentially. Those are the sunk costs. Now, Shane Waldron contributed whatever he contributed in 9 games. You paid him for those services. Nate Davis,
more like $12 million,
didn't play well enough, often enough, to justify the contract he received. The faith placed in him was as important as the money invested in him.
Who else has to go before you're done?
The purge?
Yes.
What midseason purge?
Well,
who is left that it needs to go? Boy, I don't know that defensively there's anybody that comes to mind on that side of the ball that is a part of the problem and not the solution.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's any kind of bad apples, if you will. Offensively, Nate Davis was a problem. His presence was a reminder of just how lackadaisical his approach was or seemed. Shane Waldron.
I mean, I hate to say this, but
go ahead, say it.
I'm going to say this. When a guy it makes more money than other players at his position and he decides not to play and there's really no recourse, doesn't that tell everyone you don't have to play? Like, don't you want to get him out of there just so everybody knows
that? Nate Davis made it harder to respect Matt Eberflus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
that's right.
The way that he behaved was in a way that undercut the head coach's authority and made you question everything that he said. Nobody bought it when Flusie said Nate Davis had a back issue. He went home because he didn't want to stand.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. So you see that how that works. I mean, so every time that they defended Nate Davis being around, you're like, oh, how really strong is the leadership here if they can't deal with this problem?
And when Jalen Johnson said what he said, didn't the first thought go through her head? Well, he's on a team with Nate Davis. Of course there are people that don't care.
Yeah, that was probably one of the guys that came to mind. I worried about others. Yeah, definitely. Immediately.
It's like you know, if you remember back when Eddie Goldman, you know, all the rumors were coming up that he wanted to retire, that he was going to retire. That meant he got paid and he didn't want to play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's still in the league, you know. He's still playing. He plays, I believe, for
Atlanta.
Yeah. And he's making like $1.3 million this year or something like that. That guy could have had a hell of a career. Because didn't he get a $42 million deal from the Bears and then kind of decide to retire?
Yes, that was definitely a good – that's a good comp. You want to have players who want to be here. If you're Ryan Poles, you want to be consistent with getting players, drafting, signing, trading for players who love the game.
Montez Sweat.
He loves the game.
Yeah,
it shows. Seems to. Why do you say seems to?
Because I don't know his heart. I mean, I'm just
you
saying.
You see it. He plays like that, though, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I know.
I mean, I'm not second-guessing it. I just flat-out said it, and then you're like, I'm like, yeah, he seems to. And then you're
what are you saying?
What do you mean?
What do you mean by that?
I mean nothing. I just mean I don't know everything about him, but it seems as if I would say I want guys like that on my roster.
This is a good week to be purging, though. This is a good week to be reassessing everything. You fired the offensive coordinator. You shed yourself of one of the worst free agent signings of your tenure. And you're looking ahead because the Packers are coming to town.
And I got to tell you know, I know you don't want to talk injury list, but it means a lot to me, the injury list. But I think if we could see Montez Sweat not on the injury list today, not listed with the shin, just if we – if we somehow knew that you would move
beyond. You're unbelievable. He's not going to be off the injury list.
Okay,
he's going to be hurt for a couple more weeks like that.
Let me explain my thinking. I want him off the injury list. I want him healed more than anybody because he said in the offseason he was sick of losing to the Packers. I feel like
he did.
I feel like it's time. He needs to back up.
He needs to back that up.
Back up what you said in the offseason.
Whether he's on the injured list or not.
I want him with about six sacks. I want him, like, all this frustration, all this turn into a Vesuvius.
He needs to.
Of one man.
Yes.
Attacking
Mount
and dripping.
Vesuvius.
Exactly.
Number 98.
Burning people with his presence.
He needs to do.
Hot lava that he's spewing.
The way that Khalil Mack did when he played against the Packers. In that one game, you remember that one time?
Remember that one game?
At Lambeau, that one time?
Yes, I do remember that game.
It was as dominant of a defensive performance as we have seen.
That's what I wanted to get
so
to.
You
Thank
need
you,
that.
Buddy.
You
Thank
need
you for that.
That.
I needed
with that
moment.
Please. Here's the one thing. Since we're talking about the Packers and you brought them up, you grudgingly – no, I don't think – not even grudgingly. You don't like to give Matt LaFleur respect.
No.
And I think that
– I love the flower.
Here's a couple things I want to point out. First of all, it's been 10 straight times that the Bears now have not beaten the Packers. The winning streaks have gone on long enough. Matt LaFleur's never lost to the Packers.
I asked if it was 11 because I already counted this one.
Exactly.
Isn't
You're way
terrible?
Ahead of yourself.
Yeah,
Matt LaFleur has this team since 2019, Mully. They have the best regular season record of any team in the NFC. The only teams better than them in the NFL are the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. The Packers have the fourth best NFL regular season record since 2019.
Yeah.
And wait for this. This one blew my mind when I saw it. Matt LaFleur, your guy.
Yes.
He's 22-10 in the division. Now that's a small sample size compared to some of these other guys. But when you look at all-time coaches in the division, this is the rankings 1 through 4 of the top four all-time coaches in the division. NFC Central turned into NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Duck coach, Mike Ditka, 58-25. Number two, Matt LaFleur, 22-10. Number three, Bud Grant, 80-36-3. And number four, Mike McCarthy.
Okay, now I'm just depressed.
I'm just saying, Matt LaFleur is on the trajectory of having quite a career as a head coach. Now, it isn't as big of a sample size. He's not been there as long as those other icons, but he is in the same. Mike McCarthy, before he went to Dallas, had a pretty good reputation. He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, maybe
he was passenger more than driver, but he won a Super Bowl. Bud Grant and Mike Ditka, I think we're talking about legendary
coaches,
football icons. So Matt LaFleur's in pretty good company when you talk about what the Bears are facing this week and why it's such a challenge with Jordan Love or Malik Willis playing quarterback. That defense is going to come in hungry for takeaways. Xavier McKinney's playing at a Pro Bowl level, and Matt LaFleur has got a situation where he's pushing all the right buttons.
This Friday, you can join the Score at the world-famous Brat Stop in Kenosha. It's the return of the Brat Bowl. Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi, they're going to broadcast live from 10 to 2, followed by Spiegel and Holmes from 2 to 6 that afternoon as they get you ready for Chicago versus Green Bay. There also is a coat drive going on, so bring your gently worn or brand new coats to the Brat Stop. Give them, and you're going to get a $1 off coupon. You get a buck off a beer if you do that. One coupon per customer. You can buy cheese instead. That's Friday from 10 to 6 at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. It's all brought to you by Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha. For a great experience, visit ZieglerSubaru.com, and it's by Potawatomi Sportsbook as well. I think we're already plotting. I don't know if you've been consulted. After the show, we're going to head right to the Brat Stop.
We are? Friday?
And then we're going to, settle it in the parking lot.
We have to.
With the
Packers media or radio crew?
Yeah, there's a couple of radio guys that are looking for, they're looking for a little bit of that and one of these. And,
do me a favor, though. Tomorrow, I mean, why do you have to read this at 9:40? I'm starving. And the Brat Stop just makes me want a brat.
I should have read it earlier.
Not a hot dog, but I will eat a brat from the Brat Stop.
I had promised to read it earlier, and I never got to it because there was a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of breaking news.
And then
a lot of information.
As I was talking about what I wanted to see with Montez Sweat, I got a little worked up.
You got a little worked up.
I started getting a little hungry.
Yeah,
I got a little carried away.
A little carried away.
But, I mean, the guy did say he's tired of losing to the Packers.
He did. That's good.
I want anybody tired of losing to the Packers to play.
He said that in June, I believe.
He did.
In OTA.
And you know what? I was listening.
Back when we had hope in the Bears. Back when we were overhyping the Bears. Back when they were building up those expectations
for a season. The new offensive coordinator bump coming. we're gonna find out. We're gonna hear him, preaching like a Baptist. Nobody is allowed to loaf this week. All loafers.
They should have high energy.
If you have a gently worn leather shoe you like to put your foot in,
they
throw it out. No loafers.
They need to. No loafers. Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
That was pretty bad.
I know. You need to
see evidence of coaching this week. You need to see evidence of caring this week. The Bears played listless against the worst team in football on their home field, breaking their home winning streak. And you can't tolerate that. You have every reason to play with passion Sunday on the lakefront. It's the Packers. It's a franchise in turmoil. You're in the midst of a losing streak. You've got to go out and prove that you care about playing.
Thank you.
It's so disheartening to see the Bears come out and play the way they did against the Patriots. Because these guys, they're better than this. The expectations were there in preseason for a reason. This team is more talented than a 4-5 team, and now they got the teeth of the schedule, and it feels like 8 games left. Boy, it's going to be a slog.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, things aren't going well. This is not the way things were planned. So if there's ever going to be a moment in your season where you can turn something around, it's probably not this week.
So we're going to talk.
No, it's hopefully.
We're going to hear from Caleb Williams today. We're going to hear from Thomas Brown today. And we're going to hear from Matt Eberflus today. I want to know from Matt Eberflus, I hope he's asked about Jalen Johnson's implication of the entire team when he says there are players who don't practice hard. I want to know what he has to say about players who approached management or coaching staff and wanted Tyson Bagent instead of Caleb Williams, as one report suggests. I want to know from Matt Eberflus if he made the decision to keep Shane Waldron, and he was overruled by his boss, Ryan Poles.
You said it was your decision alone, what you were going to do, and then you were overruled. How do you feel today?
That's not accurate, right? That is not what I said, right? I don't think he's going to acknowledge any of that.
But he will say right a couple times as a question, as a verbal tick. I like it.
So it's a big day at Halas Hall. A lot of information, hopefully. Maybe a little direction. I don't know. But it is a tough challenge. You're right. The Packers, talented, well-coached, and they're coming off a bye week.
Other than that, they're right where you want them. is it a Layla Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
It's Layla Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we've got Marshall and Layla and Bernstein, Dan. I'll be here. We'll talk to our colleagues next. Mully and Holmes, Score.
Great.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.